You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moxon Joe. Well, part of the old hell, out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Straight up super duper, my fine co-host. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great, Tom.
You know, I got to tell you, they got the Republican Party's convention going on down there in Tampa, hampered by this damn storm, as we all know, right? And they've got the crazy weather impeding everybody, but they're pulling it through. And here's the ironic thing. I don't know if any of you guys out there in radio land and Bigfoot world really thought about this, but today, the 29th of August, 7 years ago, Katrina hit Louisiana, Mississippi, all that area, and oh my God, catastrophic proportions. 7 years ago, and it come around one more time, not as heavy. Those levees held up, thank God for our engineers, our Army engineers that went out there and helped rebuild that thing. And I'm really proud of our country standing together and making this whole thing happen. Aren't you, Bill?
Sure am.
Yeah,
there's a lot to be thankful for. Thank God we don't have another Katrina.
Yeah. You know, I got to tell you something too, Bill. It's It's gone amok today. I don't know if you people out there agree with me or not, but it's finally hit after all these years. I've said it in the beginning that somebody's going to goof around, have one of these monkey suits on, ghillie suits on, and try to perpetrate a hoax. And look what's happened here day before yesterday, that night. This poor guy has lost his life for being stupid. I don't know any other word to put it. Bill, do you?
No, I don't. And it's a sad thing.
It is a sad thing. And, you know, in my tenure in this industry, here somebody tried to get their 15 minutes of fame, put their lives on the line. And, you know, we've been through Kalispell, and we're going to talk about this later on in the show with my family member, Bruce, up there in Montana. He's only a couple hours away from Kalispell. And from one of my cohorts and my team members, Rob, which he's experienced not too long ago within the last year of this crap going on, you know. But, you know, well, I'm going to tell you people out there, you're going to have to be very, very careful. Because what's going to happen is someday there's going to be multiple killings, murders, call them what you want, accidents, because of stupidity. And ladies and gentlemen, all it is a big waste of time. Trust me. We've been hoaxed, as you know, those who know us, know the crap we've gone through. And boy, you know, when you're the biggest and the top of the heap, you're going to get people out there trying to bring you down. And you know, what's written in this damn wide world web is indelible. You can't get it out. And, you know, it's just stupid, like I said at the top of the show. But nevertheless, we still keep on keeping on, and we keep on going in the right direction, in which we know. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, we're around the corner one more time for this migration. Whether or not we're going to have a late summer going into a late winter, I don't know what's going on. This weather, as you know, for the going on almost a year now, has been quasi. It's been crazy. It's been to the point that I don't even know what day it is anymore, okay, let alone the time of year, whether it's spring, summer, winter, or fall. It's just gotten crazy. It really has. Who would have thought where I'm at today, 92 degrees, and they quoted that it was going to get no more than 70. 22 degrees higher than what these weather whizzes went to school and with all their top-notch equipment quoted. And I took a drive this afternoon over the hump, over this little mountain, and no more than 17, 18 miles away from where I was. And would you believe it, Bill? It went from 92 degrees to 67 degrees. That's one hell of a swing on the pendulum, isn't it?
Sure is.
You know, and that was, you know, 18 miles away, for crying out loud. So I don't know what to think any longer. I really don't. But I'll tell you this. I think we're going to have some heavy movement, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get into some, you're going to hear in the next 3-4 months, some heavy stuff coming down the pike. You're going to hear people encountering Bigfoots like they've never seen before. You're going to have encounters that maybe even these creatures have come up to their house and maybe even broke their windows and stuff. I'm telling you, something's going to happen.
It already has. I promised everybody a recording. We have our Bigfoot hotline, and we get calls on it all the time. And yes, we do get little crank calls from little snotty kids that think it's funny to in school to call during the school time or something like that. But more often than not, we have real calls. And not all of them people want to come on and publicly and do anything. These kids, okay. I've got this recording. This is the second or third call that I got from them that night. What I like to do is I like to play that. This is real, really what happened. This is how I received the call. You ready?
Let's go, brother.
Here it is. These are some kids from Virginia. They're out camping.
Hello. It's us again from the Virginia sighting. And we just ran into Bigfoot again. When he came back, we could see him stomping through the woods first. Well, we could hear him. Then I heard these big whacks. It sounded like he was hitting a tree or something.
He looked very, very pissed off, like he was just pissed at the world.
So then I took my flashlight to look for him, and that's when I found, when I was looking around, and his red eyes were glowing, really, really red, and I was just...
You'd think he was just fake from the movies, but it's not. He was pissed. He was whacking that tree trunk against that tree.
Yeah, it was really scary.
If you could just please bear this in mind, write it down in your research. I think it was a defining moment in our life. Yes, and call back. We would really like to speak to a representative. Thank you.
And there it is.
You know, Bill, I got to tell you, here are two young kids, two young men. Let's call them young men for right now. And they had the gumption and the gall to get out there. They're out camping. And they thought to themselves, well, what do we do? And they had the notion to call us. And I'm very proud of those boys. I didn't get that call because I guess you took it then.
Yeah, I took it.
I'd love to meet those kids and those young men, and hopefully down the line, wherever we... What town was that? Was in Virginia?
That was in Virginia.
Yeah, a lot of action going on over there.
And after that call, later on in the morning, I told them to, you know, rather than, you know, don't try to go out at night where they can get in trouble or get hurt or something. I told them to go in their tent and just stay in their tent and make sure the campfire was lit good. And they did, and in the morning at 8 o'clock, they called me back and said they couldn't sleep all night because it was throwing rocks, pebbles on the tent. So it was pretty amazing. These kids got a real thrill through the whole night.
That's amazing, and you know what? They're brave. Those
yeah.
I don't think they could be no more than, between 9 and 11 years old?
Well, I think they're older than that. I think they're in their teens, early teens. And there's three of them. And they're just, it's amazing, what they went through. That one kid, that Jimmy, when he first called, was actually crying first time they called because they were so scared.
Yeah, you get me their numbers, Bill. I'm going to call them personally. I really am. I'm very proud of the boys. I really, really, really am because it does my heart good to see how we get these youngsters, and they know who to call, you know. As the old adage, when it goes to that paranormal stuff, who are you going to call? Not the Ghostbusters. Are going to call searching for Bigfoot, aren't they?
That's right.
And that's what they've been doing.
But anyway, that was just I thought I'd give that out there as a sample to everybody that we do get a lot of calls, and it's exciting sometimes.
Oh, you bet it is. You bet it is, Bill. And thank you for allowing me to hear that for the first time and all our listeners around the globe. I mean, this is some fantastic stuff. You know, we got a whole lot of show here, especially in the name of this fallen guy up in Montana. I want to get out there to Alabama, talk to a guy that I haven't talked to in several years. He's been on our show several times, and going to catch up on what's going on. He's got some action happening in his area. Those of you may remember him as our friend John down there in Alabama. And I had sent Youngblood, Rob Price, down there. And not only looking for Bigfoot, but they were out there for a treasure hunt. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get out there to Alabama and talk to John King. John, how are you?
Hey, doing all right, Tom. How are you?
Well, you know, I'm a little put out because of I've said it continuously throughout my tenure in the Bigfoot field. There's these clowns out there trying to hoax, that there's Bigfoot in their area, so they can get, you know, the Bigfoot hunter out there, or they can get, you know, the media out there to tell their story and get 15 minutes of fame, John. And instead, guess what happened? He got his 15 minutes of fame and then some, but he's not around to talk about it, is he?
Right.
Yeah. It's a shame. It really is. But you know what? We're not going to talk about him. We're going to talk about you. And I'm glad, by the way, to see you're back home with us, John, number one. And number two, I'm anxious to hear the story about our large friend, our large hairy friend, is back in the area once again, isn't he?
Yes, sir, Blaze, he is.
Well, why don't you do this? I'm going to shut up. You've got the floor. Tell us everything from the beginning to where you're at now.
All right. Well, here about a couple of years ago, I had a boy working for me, and him and his wife was cutting through a little by road to go home, a shortcut, and they was surprised to see a big hairy creature cross the road, and it had a black panther following it. And here Rob had come down to help me down here, and we'd had a few rocks thrown at us. And here about on the 23rd of this month, I had went down to check the pond and found a stack of rocks in the road. And a friend of mine came down and moved them. And then on that was on the 9th, I'm sorry. And on the 23rd, I went down, and there was three stacks of rocks, one in the road, one stack of rocks on top of a big rock, and then there was four or five big rocks that weighed 300 or 400 pounds that was stacked up and had a bunch of bones and stuff stacked around them, a bunch of dead animal heads, and it was in the same area that that Rob had rocks thrown at him. And then here about a week ago, I was talking to a cousin of mine. He went out on the porch about 3 o'clock in the morning, couldn't sleep, and the dog was acting funny, and he looked up, and there was a big black panther standing there looking at him. He went in and got the gun. When he come back out, the thing was gone. And so I reported the stacked rocks to the Game and Fish Commission, and they came out and took pictures of the rocks, and they informed me that there was a lot of reports in Walker County, which is about 3 miles south of me, that numerous people had reported seeing a Bigfoot with a black panther following it, like the panther was its pet or something. So I'm kind of curious on what's going on down here, but I do know that those rocks are stacked up in the very same place that Rob said he had rocks thrown at him. So I thought I'd report it to y'all, because the panther is what gets me. And a couple of times within the last 6 months, I've smelt that real musky smell around the house here. So I'm not real sure what's going on. I may have one, in the area here pretty close.
Let me ask you this, John. When you got up with the game and fish, as you call it, did they say that there was a lot of sightings this time of year in those different counties of the creature? And I heard that supposedly that maybe the creature had made friends with this black panther. Is that true?
Yes. All the reports in Walker County, the reports of people seeing Bigfoot, they also report that the black panther is with him. My cousin seeing that panther here early in the morning, about the within the same time frame as those stacked up rocks, makes me kind of. I know when I saw the stacked up rocks, I got the eeriest feeling looking at that thing. Which it could be somebody trespassing, but it's just a coincidence of everything that went on. So I thought maybe I'd give y'all a call, because Rob, he said he had rocks thrown at him, and he said that's unusual. So I'm not skeptical about it. I'm just curious,
And rightfully so, So, but when you talk to Fish and Game, did they say that there were other reports in the area?
Yes, numerous. The lady told me there was numerous. She said, it's well known in Walker County that Bigfoot's been seen. And she kind of laughed. She said he's got a black panther with him. Well, when my cousin told me he saw that panther out there that morning, and then within the same time frame those rocks were stacked up, that kind of gave me a feeling that maybe there is something going on. And there was no feet print because we had a real torrential rain. I mean, it was a monsoon for about an hour. And so there was no footprints or anything. But the Game and Fish, when they come down to take pictures of it, they said that rock that stacked there in the road, he said, hey, that whatever it was rolled it down off of that hill. Because that rock was like 400 pounds, and it had a small rock top on top of it. But the big pile of rock, it was four or five big, heavy rocks stacked on top of each other. It didn't look like they would stand on top of each other. And how I don't see how a normal human could have done it. Now, two men might have could done it, but it was real eerie looking. And the bones, there was bones laying around, all kind of different animal skulls. Now, I don't know if that is consistent with reports or not, but it sure gave me an eerie feeling, and I had the Game and Fish come down to, you know, to take a picture of it to verify it.
Wow. You've got some heavy stuff, serious stuff going on in your area. How's the weather been down there, John?
It is. Well, the weather here lately has been pretty nice, but we had like a month of just rain just about every day here about a month and a half ago. And the weather's been real odd. It's not normal. The weather's not normal out here.
Yeah. You know, I got to
say hi to Rob too.
Well, you'll be hearing him. He's coming on tonight, and I told him to call you after the show.
Okay.
Do me a favor. We're going to go to commercial here, and we got a whole lot more of show. I want to thank you for taking the time and sharing your story with us. And Rob will call you after the show. And just mute yourself out because we got a whole lot more ahead of us, okay?
Thank you, Tom. You have a great day.
You have a blessed evening, sir, and thanks for sharing with us.
Yes, sir.
Bill, let's go to a commercial. Let's pay some bills.
Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And back to you, Tom.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, every time I hear that little titty, it just blows me away. You know, Megyn Kelly, I just saw her today on the boob tube, and, you know, she's down there at the Republican National Convention, and she just gets prettier all the time, and I'll never forget talking about it with her, and she says, you know what, Tom, we need to bring these people to justice, and she's just so well, she's done so great, and she's been in our corner all along. Thank you, Megan, if you ever get to listen to our radio show here. And by the way, Bill, are we on our sixth year now, or when's our anniversary?
Well, that's September 13th.
Oh, so we're coming up on 6 years.
Yep.
Wow. And they said we wouldn't make it 3 months, Bill. Incredible. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, last week we had this gal up on with us from Oregon, and she had told about her name was Carrie. She talked about the wood knocks and the howls I think we got a sound bite somewhere on this thing. Well, anyhow, her dad Larry's with us here this evening from Oregon, and he did some follow-up. Let's get up there to Oregon and talk to Larry. Larry, you out there?
Sure am.
How are you?
Oh, just great.
Good. Hey, how's the weather up there, Larry?
Oh, well, we're kind of like in the low 70s.
You're in heaven, aren't you?
Low 70s. Oh, yeah, I'm happy with this weather.
Yeah, I don't blame you, buddy. I don't blame you. Listen, why don't you fill us in on what's been going on up there?
Well, as I spoke to you earlier this week, I went back up there again with the same friend and his daughter, back up the same spot. This time we checked out some high tech from work, a FLIR thermal imaging camera, and we brought a digital voice recorder that could record up to 83 hours. So we got up there and I made camp and stuff. I didn't get the campsite I wanted, but there was a guy over there with his horses. So I walked over there and talked to him, asked him how things were going. And a short conversation, he mentioned to me that about 50 yards from his camp, they heard the most noxious growl that they've ever heard. Further interview with the guy, he's an experienced outdoors guy. He's a little bit older than I am, and he said, it wasn't a coyote, wasn't a cougar. I go, and he said he could hear it stomping around. I went, oh, so what do you think? He goes, I think it was something real big. I'm not saying. So with that, I think we still got something going on. That night, we decided to go do our thing, what we did last week, went up to the power lines and did some knocks, and then walked a side road that goes back down behind the camp. And I put our digital recorder in a log and left that to do its recording overnight with no humans around. And walked around. I was about a couple hundred yards ahead of the rest of the group, and my friend's daughter thought she saw me, and she was running up the hill. And to make a long story short, she thought she saw me standing next to a tree. Well, she realized she got too far in front of her father, turned around and headed back to him, and when she turned around, whoever she was looking at was gone. And we pretty much accounted for who was on this road, and there you go. I kind of asked her about the size and stuff. It was far taller than me and twice as wide as I was. And it was a moonlit night, so you could really see far. We were running without lights most of the time because it was that bright. So she may have seen something.
Did you get to see anything on the FLIR?
No thermal images on the FLIR that popped out. It was our first time using it, and no hot images. It was all just background stuff. But boy, you could see a long ways away with that FLIR. It's one of the top of the line ones. So we might do some more with that.
Was it in color?
Yep, in color.
Okay. So did you get to see any red spots?
No. It was all the background thermal imaging, like for the road, the trees. No spots.
Yeah. Were you in any area? Was it sunny that day?
Yes, it was. So there was a lot of residual heat coming off.
You bet, yeah. Especially, there's a lot of rock that retains the heat.
Absolutely.
And of these trees also.
Yeah, you can see everything.
Yeah, well, that's great, Larry. Well, listen, I appreciate you taking from your night and sharing what you've done here. I'm sure you've heard about the situation up there in Montana.
Yeah, I'm with Tom on that one. I just had a little report sitting on my desk when I got to work this morning, and I already heard about it. Now I can say the guy was a bonehead. It's like, I don't know what possesses people to do that.
Well, they all want that 15 minutes of fame, Larry.
Yep.
That's the only thing I could tell you about it, and you know what? There's stupid people do stupid things, but the thing about it is, I'm sure he's left family and relatives behind, and I'll bet you they wish to God he had never done it.
Absolutely. Amen to that.
Yeah.
I'm looking around for this creature, it's like, I don't know about all the other guys, people out there, but I'm not looking for fame. I'm looking for confirmation. That's it.
You bet. I'm trying to look at my schedule and plan it for this last quarter of the year for me and my team, and we're thinking very seriously about coming up to the Pacific Northwest. Well, maybe we'll stop by and see you guys.
That'd be great. We'd really like to see you.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Listen, Larry, thanks so much. We got a whole
Tom, I did do one thing, and I should have told you before. I have Larry sent me a recording. What I've done, there's two spots in the recording where you can hear a faint howl in the background, and I have that for Larry. I told him I'd play it tonight.
Do you have it now?
Yeah, it's ready to go.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Now, there's two spots, and you got to listen very carefully. It's not real, real loud. It's weak. Here it goes.
All right.
Damn. What? What?
That was it.
You know, I got to tell you something. Those howls sound just like the Sierra sounds back in 73. Very compelling. Very compelling, Larry. Thank you.
Yeah, that happened right after the knocks, about 15 seconds.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us. Just mute yourself out. We still got a whole lot more show, okay?
All right. Good talking to you guys.
Thanks for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Larry from Oregon. You know, here's a guy that's dedicated himself, and he listened to what his daughter went through. He's taken his own time and gotten his friends together and got him a posse and went out there and see what he could find. And I got to tell you something, these are the kind of guys that I like hooking up with because they're dedicated, they're sincere, and they're real men. Underline, bold, exclamation mark. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go out there to Montana. We're going to see my family away from home. Bruce Schilt, he's up there at the Blackfeet Reservation. You heard me talk about him out there in Brownie. And he was just about 2 hours away. 120 miles, I believe, or take 10 miles or so from Kalispell. Bruce, how are you?
I'm terrific, Tom. Fine.
Good. What do you think about this stuff hitting home that close to you?
Oh, yeah, they're boneheads, you know. Anybody that stepped out in the road in traffic, you know, they're either going to be drunk or crazy.
You know,
Tom, why don't you have Bruce explain exactly what happened? Because a lot of people probably didn't read the news article, and they're wondering what we're talking about. And just explain exactly what happened.
Great idea, Bill. Great idea, Bruce. If you didn't hear what Marco said, maybe because there's a lot of people just tuning in right now, and people who are unaware of the situation that happened a day and a half ago about up in Kalispell, Montana. Why don't you tell everybody the story?
Okay. I got the paper right here. It says, man killed while trying to create Bigfoot sighting. And it says a Kalispell man who apparently tried to provoke reports of a Bigfoot sighting in northwestern Montana was struck by two cars and killed. Authorities said the man was wearing a military-style ghillie suit and was standing in the right-hand lane of the U.S. Highway 93 south of Kalispell. And he was hit by the first car Sunday night, according to the Montana Highway Patrol. Flathead County officials identified the man as Randy Lee Tenley, 44, of Kalispell. But he dressed up in a sniper suit or something and walked out in the middle of the road and got run over.
You know, Bruce, I got to tell you something. You think the guy was on drugs?
You know, there's something wrong with him, Tom. He either drunk or crazy or on pills or dope or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it just gets...
It says right here, he was trying to make people think he was Sasquatch so people could call in a Sasquatch sighting. Snyder said on Monday, "You can't make it up. I haven't seen or heard of anything like this before." Obviously, his suit made it difficult for people to see him. Snyder said alcohol may have been a factor, but investigators are awaiting tests.
We say terrible things about people like this, but you know, I feel sorry for this. He may have been a father, he may be a brother, a sister, an uncle. You know, he has parents, I'm sure, depending on his age, if they're still around, and our hearts go out to him and his family and his relatives, and I don't mean anything harsh or bad, but ladies and gentlemen, this is not what we need in this industry, okay? If you want to get noticed around the world, you want to get into the news and the media, well, for crying out loud, do something positive. Do something that you can be proud of instead of trying to, I don't know what you call this crap. It's stupid is what it is, okay? I said it in the beginning, and I'm going to say it now. Anyhow, enough with that. Tell me what's been going on up there, Bruce.
Well, about 2 weeks ago, right over south of the house by the highway there, maybe an eighth of a mile over the hill there, there's a little creek, South Fork of Cut Bank. There was a friend of mine was fishing over there, and he throwed his line in the water, and his hook was floating down just right around the curve there. He was right alongside the road, and something throwed a great big rock right where he is fishing. He thought it was his friend. His friend was sitting in the truck, so he went back to the truck, and his friend was still sitting there. He told him to throw that big rock, and that his friend said no. He said I seen it too. So they went look. They looked around there for Bigfoot, but they didn't see him. But there's trees and there's a big hill there with a steep bank there. So you know, wherever he was hiding.
Wow. Okay. So, but has there been any sightings anymore towards town or anything?
Not that I know of. Just, there was, somebody else had a rock thrown at him. This has been maybe a month or so ago. But, this was a different person, and it was in a different spot.
Have you heard from Hiram at all?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen him or heard him.
Well, I hope him and his dad are doing well. I hope they're all doing well up there. What about I want to call him our friend, but I can't. You know who I'm talking about.
Oh, you mean him?
Yeah, him.
I don't know. I seen him, yeah, but you know, he don't know me anymore, so I guess he got too big for us.
Just the opposite, young man. Just the opposite, believe me. Remember one thing, the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
It was just a leaf in the wind, I think, you know.
Yeah, very well put, believe me. Because those are the kind of people that we just forget. I forgot him so much, I don't even remember his name.
Yeah, me too.
You know what? We come up to the Pacific Northwest, where you know for sure we're going to stop over there in Montana.
Yeah, well, that's terrific, Tom. We'll be waiting for you.
Okay, brother. You tell your lovely bride and the kids I said hello, okay?
Okay, Tom, could I mention something real quick?
Please do.
Tony's going to be 16 on September 3rd, and Grandpa Simon's going to be 87, the end of September. So a couple birthdays coming up.
Wow. You mean my Tony Ray?
Yeah. Oh, man, you should see her. She sure growed up, filled out, and she's sure beautiful.
You know what? She was always beautiful, and every time I see her, she's stunning. I'll tell you what, you got to be the luckiest dad in the world to have such a gorgeous girl. But I'll tell you this, more so than anything, she should run for Miss Blackfeet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure she'd take it. She's got a charming personality, and, you know, she ain't big-headed or nothing. She's just ordinary, and that's what makes her great.
How's Little Bear doing?
Oh, he's doing real good. He's actually going to move to Polson or Summers over on the Flathead. He wants to go to work over there and go to college.
He's going to go out there to the Flathead, sir?
He's working.
Fish bank. He's going out to Fish Bank?
Now.
I'll be damned. Good for him. I'm glad to see it. Hey, how many dogs you got now?
Oh, we just had three. How'd you know?
I'm psychic, man.
Oh, yeah, we had three babies yesterday.
I'll be damned. Is that right?
Little Dash Hound and Fox Terrier had babies. Oh, they're the cutest little things.
Hey, how are they doing with those rogue dogs down in town? The ones that got three legs and hopping all over the place and don't have a home.
same old dogs limping around and scratching at the corner of the liquor store. You know, it's just then all over. You ever want a dog? Any dog you want, you can find it in Browning. I saw a Great Dane running around town there. He needs an owner.
Yeah.
He looks lost.
How's Piggy's or Porky's or whatever it's called?
The what?
Piggy Station.
Piggy Station. Oh, it's run by different people now.
Oh, is that right? What was it called, Bruce? I forget. I know I'm saying it wrong.
He was at working at Family Foods.
Yeah, but what'd they call the guy?
Puggy. Puggy Edwards.
Puggy, that's it. I knew it sounded like a pig. It started with a P. I remember now, Puggy. What's he doing now?
Well, he's not doing much of anything. He was working at that new store they built, and then he got in trouble, and so he's not working there no more.
How'd he get in trouble, Bruce?
Oh, what do you call it when it has to do with money? Mismanaged money or something, I don't know, like that.
The money got funny, it's called embezzlement.
Yeah, I guess that's what they call it.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, say hello to little Bruce, or Little Bear, as you call him, and say hello to Tony Ray. Give her a kiss for me and tell her we sure miss her, okay?
Okay, I sure will, Tom.
And tell Donna I can't wait to get up there and get some of that stew. Boy, I'll tell you. She's sure not. You're a lucky man to have a woman that could cook like that, brother.
You bet I'm blessed, Tom.
All right, yes, you are. Well, she's pretty lucky, too. She's got you. Take care. We'll see you on the sun on the next time the sun rises, and just mute yourself out because you're going to hear from Rob coming up.
Okay, Tom.
Be well.
Okay. God bless.
Same to you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my family away from home up there in the Montana mountains.
in the Browning Blackfeet Reservation, my home away from home, with the Bruce Schilt family. If you ever want to see what they're like, where they come from, go out there and get Bigfoot Lives. He was the one that brought that town on the map, and he called us, and next thing you know it, he was in our movie. And he got his 15 minutes and then some, okay, of fame. Bill, let's go to a commercial and make some money.
Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that? He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com. And we're back, Tom.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, that's what all started for us, was Bigfoot Lives. That movie is still holding out, and it supersells everything else that we've ever done. And the man that you just heard in the beginning was Bob Hallmark, a man that affected his life, ex-Navy SEAL, APC correspondent. Doubting Thomas, didn't believe in Bigfoot. He stood with us that night, came out. You heard what he said. He got in front of his own camera. Said it was an honor to be with us for what he had seen. Those footprints in the sand, those shells where a creature had eaten, and something large going very quickly through the brush. And like he said, he thought by this time in our society that here we are, gotten all the electronic gadgets you can ever think of. If there was something out there, it would have been found by now, but it wasn't. I'll tell you what, we got something coming out in October that's going to blow all you people's minds. You just stay tuned to the big anniversary date of October 20th. It does my heart good, ladies and gentlemen, to have my next guest. He's not only my one of my top team members, he's my personal friend, and he's like my own son, Rob Price, down there in Alabama. How are you, son?
Doing great, Chief. You guys doing all right tonight?
We are. How's the weather? Did the hurricane escape you guys?
Pretty much for the most part. We're just getting some spotty showers and rain here and there. But all the wind missed us, so that's good.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was telling at the top of the hour about 7 years ago today, Katrina hit Mississippi and Louisiana and whatever, you know, down there in the Gulf Coast, and just destroyed so many different places.
Yeah.
And here it is.
I was involved in that cleanup effort down there in that time period.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That shows you what kind of boy you are, and I'm proud of you. You're a real man. What do you think of this guy up in Montana?
Well, you know, Chief, I mean, there's a lot of crazy people out there in the world today, and that's asking to get yourself killed now, I mean, pretty much. The only way I can look at that is almost like a suicide.
self-destructive. I never thought of it that way, but I think you may be right. You know, but I'm a positive person, and I'm always thinking upwards and thinking to myself, well, my God, maybe he's just looking for that 15 minutes of fame, but maybe it could happen to what you're saying also.
I mean, you just don't ever know this time. I mean, you know, nowadays with the everything going on like it is and people out there, you know, having trouble gripping reality and knowing what it is, there's a lot of different psychoses and isms and everything else that everybody suffers from now. So thanks to our modern-day psychologists.
No, I've got to tell you something. You are so right. When I stop and think about what's going on in this world today, and, you know, here we got this president that's been there for going on 4 years, and I'm listening to the Republican National Convention, and they're all coming up with this big question mark. Well, what has the man done? Where has his experience come from? And what did he do for us? And, you know, you got to shake your head a little bit and scratch it and say, geez, I don't know, but I think he got us deeper in debt, didn't he?
Well, you know, there's an old adage, be careful what you wish for because you might get it, and you get a candidate that comes in with radical ideas, you know, preaching change, 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 and then he comes in and everything does change. And, you know, people want change, but people don't accept it very easily. And they got exactly what they voted for. They got change. It just wasn't the kind they were looking for.
You know, very well put, son. You make me proud when you philosophize on current events, especially in the political category. You know, I want you to tell our listeners around the globe, Rob, the story about when I sent you on an assignment not too long ago, okay, out there on the East Coast somewhere, and something similar to what happened a day and a half ago happened to you that you uncovered. Why don't you tell everybody the story from the beginning to the end?
Well, I get a phone call late at night, as it usually comes in, and I happened to had to get up early the next morning and go to work. I had a few freezer units, refrigeration units I had to go see about for some restaurants in town. So I got up there and got that done after I got the call that night, but something was going on right then, and I was like, well, I can't go tomorrow until after tomorrow evening when I get done with what I got to do tomorrow, because I always promise people I'll be there and do it. So I get to work, and I get another phone call. It came back last night. I've got the video footage, got four cameras around the house, infrared cameras mounted on all four corners of the house. And I said, well, I'll be up there. If you can give me 3 hours, I'll be up there. Got up there, looked at the footage I analyzed the footage for about 5 or 6 hours that first night. That's all I did was look at video footage, because I had to go back through and find it, because it wasn't time-stamped correctly, because it didn't update the date and time on the footage, the surveillance system. So I find all the footage and track it down into the points of time when it's coming in there. It's coming in at the same time, both nights in a row. Same MO, same deal. I'm like, this is just a little too sporadic for everything, you know, everything we've done and all the footage we've uncovered. We never get the same thing two nights in a row. I mean, it's always you get something, but then the next time you get something, it's completely different. It's never exactly the same. So I get to looking at the footage more closely, and I start to notice things. I mean, you know, for one, this is out in the broad open. I mean, there's the back of a house and a subdivision on the back side of the subdivision. In the backyard of the property, once you get past the fence, it's, you know, 500-600 yards of just woods and timber. So I get to looking at everything, and it doesn't add up. I'm sitting there watching this thing that I'm looking at, and it's not a very good quality video. I'll go ahead and tell you that. I mean, you know, it's not a high-def, high-res image. It's very grainy. It's hard to tell exactly what's going on, but you can see the general outline shape of mass. And it's backed up against the wall. But what was so peculiar is I'm like, there's a camera right above this thing's head that's pointing out into the yard. But it doesn't know the other one on the other end of the house is pointing across the patio towards it, catching the backyard side, you know, catching that pan of the back of the house. So you got one camera that's catching everything past the porch in the backyard, and the other one's getting everything from the porch to the house on that side of the house. And this camera's facing dead at it. It doesn't know the camera's there. It's sitting there with its back against the wall, and unlike what you would normally think of an animal or a creature, it's looking straight up at the camera and checking out the house with its back against the wall and its hands out against the wall, just like somebody, you know, mashed up against the wall in the darkness. So this lady is freaked out because she lives there with her two kids, a little boy, a little girl, and her. I guess she was recently divorced and moved into the area, but this has really freaked her out because, you know, the kids get in the backyard and play and everything, and this is inside of an 8-foot security fence. It's a wooden boarded fence that once you get in, there's really no way to climb out other than knocking a hole through the wood because it's solid on the inside. But on the outside, you got the beams and all that you can climb up and get over. Well, that's what had happened. Obviously, they climbed over in there, and they got back out. Probably opened the gate and got in. You know the truth. But after analyzing everything and going out in the woods and checking all day the next day, looking for prints, tracks, signs, anything that's out of the ordinary, I decide to go get something to eat. So it's about 11:30, 12 o'clock. I've been out there since daylight looking. And I go into town, get me a bite to eat at McDonald's. So it happened to be McDonald's I went to that morning, that day about lunchtime. I just happened to just something quick, I can go in there and get out. Well, I go in, and there's a couple of city cops in there. And I just start asking them a few questions. I'm like, you know, you guys had any burglaries in a certain neighborhood? I give them the name of the neighborhood and all. So they start talking to me about, yeah, we've had all this weird stuff going on, and we got to the bottom of it. We know what we're looking for now. We've almost got it pinpointed down to a who. And it's a couple of them, and they're dressing up in these gorilla suits, and they're casing houses that they're going to break into up here in this neighborhood. There's been like 14 break-ins, and they've stolen, and in some cases, the people didn't even know till a week later that their house was broken into because they didn't come in there and clean them out. And they picked the lock, and they locked the house back when they left. They come in and get little small minor things like, you know, camcorders, and, you know, sometimes I pick up a cell phone, but they don't steal anything like TVs and, you know, expensive stuff, really big stuff that you would notice. I mean, you come in, and you're like, okay, where's my camcorder? Well, I might have, you know, put it up somewhere, and it just laying on my desk anymore. So they don't notice it for several days. So all this is going on, and they tell us that, you know, tell me that they suspect it's probably someone around the age of 16 and 17, two of them, and they're working together. And while all these people, because it's a ritzy neighborhood, very close to a major city, while they all go into town to work during the day, they're out there dressed up in their monkey suits. So if anybody does see them, they can run off into the woods, take the suits off, stash them, and go back to the house and hide, because they're just, you know, degenerates staying out of school and everything. And that's what they're doing, is breaking in and stealing people's things. And I said, well, that's, you know, a relief, and it's going to, you know, make this lady feel a lot better, but, you know, at the same time, she still feels threatened because this stuff's going on. And I told her that, you know, after talking to the police, they know what's going on. They know it's all just a ruse, and this is just a, you know, just to create fear to make you leave. Because, I mean, she actually would leave and go to the other side of town to stay with her parents at night, and leaving no one there at her house because, you know, of them doing this stuff. So it actually scared her out of the neighborhood, so it, you know, opened her house up to attack. And I told her, I said, don't be scared. I said, don't worry about it. It's not Bigfoot, number one. It's just two kids probably in their, or, you know, mid to late teens, dressing up like gorillas to scare people off, breaking into houses and stealing stuff. I said, this is what you do. And she's, you know, she got a firearm. I told her, I said, that's all you need. I said, that's, you know, more than ample for whatever situation you've got here to deal with. I said, don't shoot them. She's like, why? I said, because it's people dressed up. I said, it's not a monster. It's human beings dressed up wearing gorilla suits. She's like, well, what happened? I said, the only time you shoot them is when they try to break into the house and you're here with you in the house. If they start beating on the door and trying to knock the door in, I said, then you can shoot them. Other than that, don't go out in the yard, shoot at them or nothing. Call the police. They'll come out and clean and, you know, check the area and do their job. Let them do their job, because you don't want to, you know, you don't want to kill a kid out here dressed up. I mean, that just wouldn't be good. So after all that went down, it took me 2 days to get to the bottom of it. We got it all together and got it all worked out, and I, you know, nothing else has been said. I don't know if they called them. They probably did, or they either wised up and stopped, because eventually you will get caught if you keep on.
Yeah, and the moral of the story is a lot of people can get hurt, and that's what happened here. You know, I appreciate it. We're running late, son. Do me a favor. Please call John King up. You have his number?
I don't know. Did he change it?
I don't know, but call Marco.
Okay.
So he'll give it to you. Thanks so much for coming in. Do me a favor. You call me in
in about an hour also. Okay, I need to talk to you.
All right, Chief.
You guys, and you know what? I dedicate this show to a gal who means an awful lot to me. She was got into a little accident, and she's rehabilitating. And Miss Calabash, Gigi, get better, darling. We love you. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise to the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We brought them together, reason for the facts.